took 56 hours. None survived. The last one took her life after awakening from a bloated sleep and seeing what lay around her in the cabin. The average Shand wouldn't have done so, but the average Shand was not an ambassador trained to think in cosmopolitan ways. The plain truth was that the Shandi liked eating Shand. Can you fit ritual cannibalism into a civilization? They did. There was the game. The rules were ancient, venerated and simple. Two Shandi would enter from opposite sides, a stretch of tundra or forest set aside for the purpose. There were special rules about weapons. The winner ate well. Curiosity overwhelmed Kin. "Did you ever play the game, Silver?" she asked softly.
"Why, yes. 3 times when the urge was strong in my mouth," said the Shand. "Twice at home and once illegally elsewhere. My opponent in the latter case was the Regius Professor of Linguistics at the University of Gelt. Much of her stocks my freezer at home even now. I grieve that her death may largely have been in vain."
"But you've got dumbwaiters now. There's no need for the game." Silver shrugged.
"Now, it is a tradition," she said. "What we did out of need, we do for sport, I think it would be called. Although there are elements of bravado, identification with our ancient past, the affirming of our Shandness. You think this is barbaric?"
It was a statement, not a question. Kin shook her head anyway.
"Some humans have taken part in the game," said Silver. "They pay highly for the chance to prove their, what, machismo? If they win, all they get is the head of their victim to hang on the wall. That is barbaric."
What happens if the Shand wins?"
"She gets 2 convicted criminals.
Kin thought, "This is what Shandi do on their homeworld, and none of your business. You can't apply humans' values to aliens, but you keep trying." The train of thought was derailed by a scream from the big hall. A man burst out into the starlight and tumbled over on the grass, clutching at his side. Kin landed running, snatching the stunner from her belt. She heard the heavy crash on the shingle as Silver landed behind her. The hall was full of dark fighting shapes. Kin jerked aside as the leather-clad man ran out, followed by a tall man hefting an axe. She pointed the stunner and fired. The effect was not immediate. The two kept on running. Then their legs collapsed under them in slow motion, and they hit the ground asleep. Kin entered the hall with the stunner turned to minimum power, maximum beam, swinging it like a scythe. A fighter staggered towards her with a raised sword and began to dream on his feet, sending her sprawling as 15 stone of Norsemen cannoned into her. For a moment she suffocated in a reek of stale sweat and badly tanned hides, then managed to roll away. The stunner was gone, dropped in the collision. She was in time to see a teetering giant pick it up curiously and look down the barrel. In the middle of the tumult, a look of perfect peace passed over his face. He fell like a tree. Another man rushed at Kin. She kicked out and upwards and was rewarded with seeing his eyes cross before he rolled over, screaming and clutching his groin. There wasn't a fight going on, it was a brawl. Most of the men were simply hacking blindly at everything. She managed to get to her feet, almost slipping on the curiously muddy floor. Through a gap in the figures, she saw Marco dodging like a demon in the torchlight, a sword in all 4 hands. The dumbwaiter hummed behind him, a sticky, sweet smell in the air. There was a bellow from the door, and Eirik hobbled in, his face contorted with rage. He was flailing about with his crutch. Then the roof fell in. One of the fighters backed into Kin, and she felled him with a backhanded chop as the dawn-pale light flooded the hall. Part of the nearest wall bowed inward and crumbled away. There was a brief glimpse of a wide, white-haired foot. Silver appeared at the roof hole, black against the gold sky. There was silence, broken only by the whimpers of the wounded and a background trickle. Silver roared again. There was a brief moment of pandemonium as those who could rushed for the doorway. Kin looked down. She was standing ankle-deep in a sticky, frothy puddle. She looked at the dumbwaiter. A yellow-brown waterfall was spilling out of the food hatch, filling a deepening puddle. Marco looked at her, trying to focus. Then he sighed contentedly and fell backwards. Resignedly, knowing what to expect, Kin held her cupped hand under the stream and tasted it. It was sweet and potent, a super beer.